Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on July 3rd, 2017. My guest today is a recruiter for Consulting Professional Resources that I met in Pittsburgh, William Straub. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Thanks for being on the show with me. And you're really the second recruiter I've ever had on the show. Mostly it's developers. How long have you been a recruiter?
I've been a recruiter now for 8.5 years.
And how and why did you get into recruiting or technical recruiting in the first place?
I wanted to get into IT, and more specifically, I wanted to get into IT and sales. And I wanted that combination. The reason why I did that is thoroughly enjoy, you know, learning about IT, technology. I was introduced to the owner of our firm. Company I work for is Consulting Professional Resources, and our owner's name is Ken Fink. I was introduced to him about 10 years ago. We developed a relationship, so I got to learn what Ken does, what his company did, staffing. And after that conversation over a period of time, I knew that was just the direction I wanted to take with my career. And so far, after 8.5 years, I love it.
What is the secret sauce of recruiting? You know, can you give us a little peek behind the scenes of what you do? What sort of tools and methods and techniques have served you well over those years?
One of the main things is being active in your community. And what I mean by that is attending tech events. I do a lot of that. I do a lot of speaking engagements, getting out in front of the community. We also have an awesome referral program at our organization. We have our own proprietary database, and we do a referral bonus as well. So that's the way I like to do a lot of the heavy lifting in my recruiting, is relying upon our referral system, our database, and our referral bonus. The other secret sauce, I'm always dialed in. It's 24/7/365. I know that's hard to believe, but my candidates will all tell you that I'm constantly dialed in with them, whether it's from finding the candidate as a passive candidate or moving that candidate throughout our process. The other piece is constant follow-up, is making sure that the candidates, clients, and my managers are always in the know. And doing so is follow up, follow up, follow up. That is what's really helped me, as those keys there.
So you mentioned a proprietary database. Is that like an Excel sheet, or is that a tool that you developed at your company? Or, I mean, how does that work?
So the current database that we use now is called CBiz, and the product within CBiz is called Excelair. That's where we put all of our notes, our candidates, and store everything in there. So it's very simple for me. Once I store all my notes, documentation, going back through there and recalling those conversations, because it's right in front of me.
So that's like a CRM sort of thing?
It sure is. Yes, sir.
Now, you mentioned follow-up. Do you find that, you know, obviously persistence pays off, but do you find that maybe following up too much might be a problem? Have you witnessed that at all?
I've never had that happen. I've actually had candidates tell me, wow, you really keep me up to date. And that's my job, is people change their minds, companies change their minds, and if we're not all on the same page at the same time, it just drags a process out, which we don't want to do for either the candidate or our client. So being in constant contact with that candidate is crucial. Yeah, I've never had someone say you give me too much information or you're following up too much.
Speaking of too much information, I have a LinkedIn profile. I have a Stack Overflow careers profile. I have a history of a bunch of old Word documents that contain my resume from previous job applications. And I probably have a jillion other places where something like a resume or a profile exists. but they aren't really ever in sync unless I'm in, you know, hardcore must find a job mode. From a recruiter's point of view, do you fixate on a single site and ignore others? Do you Google me to make sure I'm not like a serial killer or a Justin Bieber fan or something like that?
So how I do that is I'm very technically inclined. So I want to make sure that I'm using all the sites that my candidates are using. So there's not one site in particular that is my go-to. However, I do use a ton of social media. And what I mean by that is LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, GitHub. I use GitHub a lot to go out and check people out,
wow,
see what their code looks like if I'm recruiting for software engineers. So I'm pretty much all over when it comes to sites in particular. What's nice is if a candidate does have a LinkedIn profile, they do have their information posted on one site of their preference. I can then go out after I do the Google search to find that candidate. I can go out then and find that individual and contact them. If their contact is, you know, outdated on one site, there's always another place that a candidate perhaps has their information listed. One of the nice links that I found was the top 15 most popular job sites rated by eBiz, the business MBA guide. And I'll share that with you in a link. It'll actually show the up-to-date websites of July of 2017. So it'll actually give the folks on your show today information and why they're the top rated job sites, Matt.
Oh, that'd be very helpful. I'll put that in the show notes at crosscuttingconcerns.com. It sounds like a lot of work for you to research all these people. And I was very interested when you mentioned GitHub. What sort of things do you look for on GitHub? You can put a lot of different projects, contributions, and things on there. What sort of things stand out to you when you're looking at someone's GitHub profile?
For one, is their profile up to date? Meaning, do they have a picture on there? You know, when was the last time that they logged in? What does their projects look like? Are they projects that are real? Are they projects that perhaps if it was the right candidate, can we highlight those per the candidate's permission to our end client? So anyone can say that they're proficient in their field, but when they bring the evidence, as in what GitHub has on there per that candidate, that really helps us with our clients to actually show them the resume, a write-up, and then here is their technical information that they're willing to share.
We were talking in Pittsburgh, and I'm from Columbus. I'm not sure what the job market is like in Pittsburgh. In Columbus, it's a very good market, at least this is what I've been told. And there are sayings out there like, you don't need a recruiter until you need a recruiter. The best time to look is when you don't have to, things like that. But if it's a good job market, you know, how do I avoid some sort of grass is greener cycle where I'm always looking for the next job? I'm always on the lookout. Oh, they have it better over there. Let's go and apply to that job and just keep doing that sort of cycle.
So the Pittsburgh market is hot at the moment. I always, because I get that question a lot that you just asked me, Matt, having a good relationship, building a relationship with a recruiter that you have had success with in the past, that you've been referred to, someone that you've worked with prior, staying in touch with them every once in a while, seeing what they have on their horizon as far as your technical skills. What does that look like? Meeting with that recruiter. I love meeting candidates. Sometimes our schedules are a little busy during the course of a day, not able to do a coffee, a lunch, what have you. I do a lot of Skype, Google Hangouts to get to know a candidate. Building that relationship so when the opportunity is right and knowing what that candidate wants and being there when that time is right really helps out. Switching jobs is never easy, Matt. We all know that. It can be a little stressful at times for others. Having someone as their guide, like a good recruiter, being there to teach them and to show them and provide value, that's really key in a market.
Those are some good insights there. So I'm not going to try to put you on the spot here for this next question as a representative for the entire recruitment profession. And the fact that you understand how GitHub works tells me that
this sort of job posting would not get past your desk. But sometimes we see really lousy job postings out there that say things like 5 years of SQL 2016 experience is required. And how much blame should recruiters get for those type of postings?
Being that, you know, you're posting an opportunity to garner candidates, find candidates, everybody's going to view that, right? Whether that person likes that opportunity, gets referred to that opportunity, having the wrong information out there is never any good. It shows the lack of your knowledge for this skill set that you're trying to obtain candidates from. Some candidates just won't work with that recruiter, and can't blame them. I understand why. However, everybody does make a mistake at one time. Owning up to that mistake and understanding, hey, that is my responsibility. I did make that mistake. However, this is your profession, so you try to limit those mistakes. Seeing postings out there, not wanting to apply to those, definitely would put a blemish to that recruiter for sure. Try to avoid those as best as you can. When you are given one of those requirements from your internal company, point those out before those get posted, so that way your company will have a better view of a candidate that's more desirable to apply to that opportunity.
So it might not be the recruiter writing the original job posting, but saying that when these make it to a public site, it shows that the recruiter really hasn't really read it or understands it completely, and they're just sort of turning around and passing it along. And what you're saying is that you need to have just a little bit of understanding of actually what these requirements mean and maybe act as a filter.
Also, too, when you have that job posted and you're contacting candidates, or perhaps candidates are contacting you, is to make sure you understand the job. Make sure that you're proficient in those skill sets. Not to say that you need to be an expert at that. However, you do have someone that is an expert at that calling you. And when you're not understanding the skill sets or able to talk to the candidate technically, it's a short conversation. Candidates want to know, can that recruiter handle the conversation technically? Be proficient as to what the client's looking for.
All right, I've got one more question for you, and it's just something I'm kind of curious about. I assume you've been in far more interviews than I have. So when I interview, I get really nervous when they ask me, you know, a salary range or to actually, you know, say a number out loud. And on the flip side, it seems like, you know, most job listings don't really list a salary range or salary figure. Do you have any idea why both sides might be so afraid to say numbers? I mean, there might be a job posting that sounds interesting, but if the salary range is far too low, then, you know, that's something I'd like to know sooner than later. Or reverse, you know, I don't want to actually say a number that's way too large and, you know, get laughed at by the interviewer.
Matt, I always tell folks, you can ask what the salary range is up front. You can let the client know that if we both feel this is an excellent fit, you know, I'm sure that they will make a fair and equitable offer. You can also just give them your current salary and let the company decide whether it's financially fit to them. Being able to be up front, have that conversation early in a conversation with either the recruiter internally or externally, meaning externally in a staffing firm, having that upfront conversation about compensation will save each parties a lot of time. Because if it's not the right fit financially, Matt, it perhaps sometimes does not work. There's only been a few occasions where a client has been able to get a little higher in salary to obtain that candidate that does have the right skills technically. But having that up front, letting each other know, is very critical. Also, I like telling my candidates, here's the opportunity, here's where it's located, here's the compensation that the client has targeted for this opportunity. Does that meet your requirements financially? Getting that out of the way early, Matt, is critical, so that way we can all fix on what is important to them as far as the job, make sure the technical skills.
So before we go, is there anything else you'd like to promote?
I work for Consulting Professional Resources. You can reach us and view our website at cpr-pa.com. We are a privately held staffing organization headquartered in Pennsylvania. Our company's been established since 1994. We do have a vision working with our clients to help them with mission-critical business and project needs by providing quality resources with a sense of urgency. We not only do IT staffing, but we do a wide array of staffing. We do sales, human resources, healthcare. So we're just not doing IT anymore. And you can always check me out on LinkedIn, William Straub, or you can follow me on Twitter, at BillyStraub3. And you can see all my latest posts from the recruiter's desk.
My guest today has been William Straub. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Matt. You have a great day, and thanks for having me.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.